You can take your Bibles tonight. We're going to start in Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3. In verse 9. And tonight I'm going to be sharing on the great mystery. The Bible refers to as the great mystery. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 9, it says, "And to make all men see what is the fellowship of the ministry." And that word fellowship is the word administration. "The administration of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world has been hid in God, who created all things," and by Jesus Christ is not in the text. The word mystery here is not like mysterious, right? It's not like mysterious. God is not mysterious. God put his word in his word, who he is, everything about him, how much he loves us, what he wants for our lives, right? God is not mysterious. People who say God works in mysterious ways haven't looked in the book, right? It tells us what we need to know. God is not mysterious, but the word mystery here is the word, or could be translated secret, right? The word mystery means secret, something that God wanted hidden, something that God wanted to keep a secret, right? And it says in verse 10, "To the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God." So this secret embodies the great wisdom of God. Whatever this secret is, right, it embodies the great wisdom of God. Verse 11, "According to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord," right? And that eternal purpose could also read the purpose of the ages. This secret was the purpose of the ages, of all time. That's how big this secret is. It sounds like a really big deal, right? It sounds like something that was important to God. Go to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. But Ephesians, Philippians, and Colossians deal a lot with the mystery, with this secret, and the importance of it. Colossians chapter 1, verse 25. And this is Paul speaking. It says, "Whereof I am made a minister, according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you, to fulfill the word of God." This mystery fulfills the word of God. It completes the truth of all the word that came before, of the Old Testament, of the gospel. This mystery is the fulfillment of all the word that came before it. Verse 26, "Even the mystery which has been hid from ages and from generations, but now, today, is made manifest or made known to his saints," to whom God, right, to his saints, that's you and me, "to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of what?
Glory.
Right? That is the secret. The great secret is that it's Christ in each one of us. That's what God wanted to keep a secret, that by what Jesus Christ accomplished, that it would be Christ in each one of us, and everyone who believed, it would be Christ in them. And he wanted to keep that a secret. And it was by his great wisdom that he did that, and we'll see why here in a little bit. But you can't understand the Old Testament until you read the New Testament and understand what this secret was that is now revealed to the world. so much in the Old Testament makes sense once you understand what God had planned. Once you understand what God's plan of redemption was, then a lot of that makes sense. Go to 1 Peter chapter 1. First Peter 1, verse 9. First Peter 1, 9 says, receiving the end of your faith, and the end of your faith is better translated, the result, that's what the end is, of your believing. Receiving the result of your believing, even the salvation of your souls, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you. And that's referring to those Old Testament prophets. So they prophesied, they knew that there was something special coming. They prophesied of the grace that was to come, but they didn't know how it was going to get done. They didn't know what the full results were going to be. And it says here that they inquired and they searched how? Diligently. They looked for it, but they couldn't find it in the scriptures because God had kept it a secret. Verse 11, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did signify when it testified beforehand the suffering of Christ and the glory that should follow, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which the angels desire to look into. Right? Even the angels desired to know what this whole deal was, but did not know. They did not know. God had to keep it a secret. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, we'll see why. 1 Corinthians 2. First Corinthians 2:6. It says, howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect or mature, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to what?
Naught.
And when it talks about the princes of this world, it's talking about the adversary and his devil spirits, right? This is not the wisdom of the world or the wisdom that came from, you know, the adversary and his devil spirits, that all comes to nothing, right? That all passes away. They're doomed, right? They know what their end is. Verse 7, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, right? Even the adversary, the devil spirits, didn't know this secret. For had they known it, if they knew it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. If they knew that by crucifying Jesus Christ, it would be available for Christ to be inside all of us, they would have left them alone. It's a lot easier to deal with one physically present Christ than it is to deal with Christ and anybody, everybody who believes, right? They never would have done it if they knew that secret. If they knew that it was going to be available for it to be Christ in each one of us, they would have left alone. Verse 9, but as it is written, I have not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man, the things which God has prepared for them that love him. And that's referring to that mystery. It didn't enter into anybody's eyes or ears or hearts. Just the, you know, magnitude of the plan that God had for his people. The love, what God prepared for those that love him. right? And that is the great mystery. He kept it a secret. He prepared for it all the way back to when Adam first sinned, right? God had a plan, and he kept it a secret. Go to 1 Peter chapter 1. So as born-again believers, it's Christ in us. It's Christ in each and every one of us. Wherever we are, there is Christ. And that's huge. Jesus Christ was just one person on this earth. But now it's Christ in each and every one of us. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23, it says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Right? We have incorruptible seed. It can't be lost. It can't be ruined. It doesn't expire. Doesn't go bad. Right? It can't. You can't get rid of it. Once you're born again, you're born again, no matter what you do. Right? And that was part of the greatness of this mystery, that it would be Christ in each and every one of us, that we would have Holy Spirit, and that nothing could ever change that. If the adversary had known that was going to be the result, he would have left Jesus Christ alone. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. And that's why God had to keep it a secret. First Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 10. In the Old Testament prophets, the angels, they all looked for what this was really going to mean. How is God really going to deliver his people? But they didn't understand the magnitude of that deliverance. 1 Thessalonians 1:10, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. Right? The Old Testament believers, they knew about the judgments. They knew about the wrath. They even knew about the second coming of Christ, when Christ would come back with his saints. They knew that Jesus Christ was going to come back, and that there would be judgment, and that there would be a day of wrath. But they didn't know about Jesus Christ coming back for us, right? That it's Christ in us, that we would have Holy Spirit, and that we would be spared from the wrath to come. They had no idea that we're spared from the wrath. We don't have to go through any of that, right? Because we're born again believers. Ephesians chapter 3. We've been spared from that. That's all part of the mystery. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 3. How that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in a few words, whereby when you read you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body, and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. That Gentiles should be fellow heirs with who? With the Judeans, right? That's part of the mystery. All the way up until the day of Pentecost, Israel, or the Judeans, were God's peculiar people, right? They were God's special people. And he had made promises to them of a coming Messiah and of great deliverance. And what they didn't know, and what God kept a secret, was that after the day of Pentecost, it would be, this salvation would be available to all men, not just the children of Israel, not just the Judeans, but that the Gentiles would be fellow heirs and of the same body, and would also be able to take part in that promise that God had made of salvation, right? So the Judeans didn't know that the Gentiles would be fellow heirs. That was kept a secret from them as well. And that's really interesting, because if you go back to Deuteronomy chapter 6, Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 25, it talks about in the Old Testament, prior to the day of Pentecost, what kind of righteousness was available? How was righteousness available to the Judeans, to the children of Israel? Deuteronomy 6:25. And it shall be our righteousness if we observe to do all these commandments before the Lord our God, as he hath what? Commanded us. So for them, their righteousness was a result of the law, of God's commandments. If they did the things that God put into his law, his commandments, that's what was counted toward them for righteousness. Right? And there's all kinds of things that we know are in that law. And so this is an earth-shattering change for the Judeans specifically, but for all of mankind. Right? They had rules on sacrifices. They had rules on when they were to go to the temple. They had rules on what they could wear. You know, they can't wear linen and wool together. They can't. Not allowed. They had rules on what they could eat, right? We all know they can't eat pork, but there was all kinds of other animals they couldn't eat. They had rules on observing the Sabbath, right? How they conducted their daily lives was in that law. And that is what was counted to them for righteousness. And so for thousands of years, you had them living out their lives by this law, right? And that's how righteousness was accounted to them, was by how well they did that. And sometimes they didn't do so hot with that, right? That was their righteousness. But in Romans chapter 10, verse 1, we see that everything changed with the day of Pentecost. We see that this great secret that God had kept meant freedom for mankind as well. They didn't know that Gentiles would be fellow heirs. They thought that they were, this Messiah was just coming for them. In Romans chapter 10, verse 1, it says, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be what?"
Saved.
Yeah. That's what Paul wanted for Israel too. But the rules got changed on Israel on the day of Pentecost. The rules got changed. Verse 4, "For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that what? Believes." Christ was the end of righteousness coming by the law. Right? Something changed. This great secret that God had hid. Something changed. Now it was available after the day of Pentecost for anyone who believed to get born again. For anyone who believed to get salvation. That their righteousness was now just a matter of believing what we will see here in a moment, Romans 10, 9 and 10, and not of the law. In verse 9, "That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus," so you confess that Jesus Christ is your Lord, "and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be what? Saved." That's it. You can eat all the bacon you want. You can wear all the linen and wool together that you want. Right? All you have to do is believe Romans 10:9, and you're saved. Verse 10, "For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness." That's the righteousness. With the heart man believes unto righteousness. It's not the letter of the law anymore. It's not keeping all of these commandments. It's believing Romans 10:9. "For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture says, whosoever believes on him shall not be ashamed or disappointed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, meaning Gentile. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. That all that call upon him, there is no difference. Right? And that was the great secret. There was this very narrow group of people in the world that were considered God's people before the day of Pentecost. And God kept all that secret too. That salvation would be available to every man, regardless of who they were. Right? That there would be no difference. And that God made it available to everyone. If the adversary had known that, he never would have crucified Jesus Christ. We're going to close in Ephesians chapter 2. God only sees three classifications of people. He sees Judeans, Gentiles, and sons of God. Right? That's what God sees. He doesn't see black, white, Asian. He doesn't see male or female. He doesn't see short or tall. Are you a son of God? Do you believe? Or are you a Gentile or a Jew? Ephesians chapter 2, verse 11. Wherefore remember that you, being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. Right? So before Christ, if you were a Gentile, you were an alien from the commonwealth of Israel. You were outside of that God's peculiar people section that was the children of Israel and the Judeans. But with Christ, right, we have a hope. With Christ, we have God, right? It's no longer that we're having no hope and without God in this world. Verse 13, but now in Christ Jesus, you who were sometimes were afar off, made nigh or near by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who has made both one. He's made both groups one, Jew and Gentile, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us. He's broken down any separation between those two groups. Having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, right? Done away with that law. For to make in himself of twain, of two, one new man, so making peace. That's what Christ accomplished for us. And that he might reconcile or bring together both groups unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. And came and preached peace to you, which were afar off, the Gentiles, and to them that were nigh, the Judeans. It's available to everybody. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. So through what Jesus Christ accomplished, both groups have access by that Holy Spirit that you get when you believe, Romans 10, 9 and 10. Unto God. Now, therefore, you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints, and you belong to the household of who? God. We're part of God's family. That's the great mystery. That's the great secret that God kept hid. But it would be a part available for us to be a part of his family, to be his sons and daughters, because of what Christ accomplished for us. And he kept that a secret, so that the adversary wouldn't screw up the plans, so that it would be available for us to be a part of this family. Right? And it doesn't matter who you are. Jew, Gentile, doesn't matter to God. You believe Romans 10, 9 and 10, and you're a member of this great family and this great body of Christ.